What's up, you nerds? This is 60 Second Classics with Mike Camerlingo. I am your host, Mike Camerlingo. And do people still call each other nerds, like the kids? You ever go by a pack of kids and they're like, "Ah, oh, quit being a nerd." Just curious what the youth are saying these days. We used to say that back in the old days, call someone a nerd or a shithead. But a shithead's different. It's more like you're a nerd if you're always studying, but you're a shithead if you tried to light someone's like front bushes on fire. You're like, "Dude, come on, don't be a shithead. I got baseball practice." So that was kind of my childhood. Welcome to the show. If you'd like to listen, you are listening. Mike, you big piece of shit. I just had a iced coffee last week. I had spilled my iced coffee this week. I ingested it. It is in my lungs. It is in my stomach. It's in my soul. So just want to thank everybody for being here today. Hope everyone's having a great day, a great Thursday, October 13th. If you like the show, you can leave it 5 stars and leave a nice comment. We got a great comment I'm about to read to you right now. It just sums up my brand perfectly. There is a voicemail number that not one fucking person has called. Actually, no, we had one person call. Shout out to that person. 617-340-9481. Get hammered and call. I don't understand. Just call and be like, "Hey, fucking, what do you think about this movie?" Please do that. TikTok and Instagram at 60 Second Classics, and Twitter is at M Camerlingo. If you want to send me an email, it's 60secondclassics@gmail.com. If you want me to keep the show moving, God damn it, I am with you. So this is a review, a rating on Apple that I got. It's a 5-star review. So please, you can leave a 5-star review and then write whatever the fuck you want, okay? But it's got to be 5 stars to get that shit rolling. So this is the review. It says Mike keeps it tight. That's the, okay, I see that Mike keeps it tight. I'm already a little cautious on what this is going to say. So it says, "This dude pulls off both rambling and not going too long. Loose but tight. The right mix of no preparation or endurance." Okay, right now I'm going, I don't know if this guy's fucking with me or not. I don't know where this is going, but okay, I'm listening. "Basically, each episode is a great story, probably too long for a monologue at the bar, but that's basically what it feels like. A guy talking to you, but looking at the TV the whole time in a mostly empty bar. This is a compliment." Dude, what a roller coaster that review is. One second, I'm like, holy shit, this is it. People like it. It's working. And the next second, I'm like, do I have to find this guy and punch him in the fucking throat? And at the end, he clears it all up by, "This is a compliment." And because that's always the best, when you have to be like, "Oh, by the way, I'm complimenting you. Oh, I like the food you cooked. It's rubbery and it kind of burns my mouth a little, and I've never tasted anything like it. This is a compliment, though. But there are some things in that I do like. Rambling, which is this podcast is a rambling podcast. Not going too long. You have my God's honest word that I will not go longer than 20 minutes unless there's an interview. Loose but tight. Hey, man, we all want to be loose but tight. The right mix of no preparation or endurance. I have endurance. The thing, you know what the thing is, when you're doing a podcast by yourself, the more you talk, the more you go like, is anyone fucking, you like just assume no one's listening. And then as you're listening, you probably get annoyed by that. You're like, "Hey, idiot, I'm listening. Keep going." But I can't help it. I'm like, I reach a point where I'm like, who gives a shit? I'm just whispering to myself. Guy talking to you, looking up at the TV, probably watching women's college softball, which is the best thing to watch at a bar. Ready? Top 3 things to watch at a bar with the sound off: women's college softball, PTI. If you go to like happy hour and you're like, "Oh, what did Randy Moss say? What's happening now?" Because you can never fucking tell. In the closed captions are always like 90 seconds behind. And the number 3 thing to watch at a bar, American Ninja Warrior. Just kidding. That's number 1. That's the best fucking thing ever to watch at a bar, because you're like, "Oh, let's look at the accountant from Iowa try to fucking run across a bridge. Oh no, he just fell and smashed his head into a thing of water. That man is concussed. His whole family is disappointed in him." Before we get to today's questions, I put a thing out on Twitter and said I want to do a little mailbag. So I got 5 or 6 questions I'm going to bang through. But before we get that, I just want to tell you guys about a procedure I had done. Okay, I had an upper endoscopy done. That's because I was having a lot of acid reflux. I was having what some doctors would call GERD. And then they send you for an upper endoscopy if you're being a little bitch. Basically, the doctor's like, "Oh, wah, you can't sleep at night? Oh, you can't have any good foods anymore? Well, guess what? I'm going to shove a camera down your fucking throat." So went in there, you know, a little nervous, but they put you out. It's not general anesthesia, but you're not supposed to eat past noon in my past midnight. And my appointment was at 1:45 the next day. So that's a long ass time. I'm a snacker. I don't know if you've ever seen me doing videos, but I got a little girth on me. So I wake up. My daughter has been waking up at 5:30 every morning. I'm doing the Lord's work out here podcasting after my daughter woke up at 5:30. So I'm just saluting myself here. That's all I'm saying. Woke up at 5:30 and I stole a little bit of her pancake off her plate and I ate it. And right away I was like, oh shit, I'm not supposed to eat. They're going to be all pissed. And I'm like, oh, that's just something they say. And then I looked it up. They're like, oh, if you eat before surgery and you don't tell them, food can get into your windpipe and die. And you're like, best case scenario, going to be in the ICU. And I was like, oh shit, dude, scared straight. So my lapsed Catholic guilt swings into full effect. And I call the office at like 8:45. I'm like, I just had a bite of a pancake. It was just a bite. And they're like, ooh, I don't know, bite. We might have to reschedule. I think it's okay. So it's okay. I get to the thing. And everyone knows about the bite of pancake when I get there. So I go in. I'm checking in with a nurse. She's like asking me a million questions. She's like, so you had a little bit of a pancake this morning? I was like, yeah, I had just a bite. It was just, there wasn't even anything on it. It was like a little bit of butter. All right. She's like, she's doing the hours. She's like, it's 6:45, 7:45. She's like, since it's 8 hours, it should be okay. So then the anesthesiologist comes in. He's like, oh, heard you had a pancake. I'm like, can we stop talking about the fucking pancake? So they decided it was okay. One bite of a pancake was not enough to stop a camera from being inserted into my mouth and down my throat. The anesthesia was actually pretty cool. It wasn't general. So they weren't sticking a tube in. I was breathing on my own. Basically, I went in and the guy was like, the anesthesiologist was funny as hell. He was like, all right, deep breaths. He's like, fill up your lungs with oxygen. He was like, give me like a pump up talk. And I was just like breathing, breathing, breathing. And then as he's injecting it, he's like, it might burn a little. It didn't burn. But then all of a sudden I felt it and I was getting just like fucking super dizzy. And right there, you know, I'm a little bit of a hypochondriac. Like when I get dizzy, if I haven't eaten or something, I'm like, I always assume I'm having a stroke. I'm like, oh shit, I'm going to die. But I said in that moment, I'm very proud of myself right now. I said in that moment, I go, Mike, you can either be a little puss-puss for about 3 seconds and really fight this feeling or embrace it, my friend. Embrace it. Embrace the spinny. Embrace the holy shit. And I go, I'm embracing this. And as I was saying, I'm embracing this, I woke up. And I think that's probably what dying's like. Except you may not wake up. But when I do go to die, I'm going to go, I'm embracing this. Everything was good. It was fun. Good shit. And when I woke up, I was fine. I wasn't like super, if anyone ever had surgery, you know, you wake up from surgery, you're like really nauseous and you feel like shit. I woke up good. I was like talking right away. It honestly felt like I had 10 beers. I was talking with the confidence and slurred speech of someone who drank 10 beers. And it was fun. I was cracking jokes. I asked the doctor if he got the pancake. He's like, no. I don't think he liked that joke. But whatever, you know, it was fun. So if anybody has to get a upper endoscopy for anything, shoot me a message. I'll talk you through it. It was good. Easy. I recommend it. A+. All right. So like I said earlier, I asked, I put a prompt out on Twitter and asked for questions for today. Sorry if you are someone who follows me on Instagram or if you just listen and you don't have social media at all. I admire you because social media is a big old time suck. But next time I do one of these, I'll cast a bigger net out into the world. So, but for today, let's get into it. So Joey Shallow Water, he wrote, how did the town of Jasper, where Roadhouse took place, necessitate Brad Wesley to okay. All right, guys. So here's what's happening. I could stop this whole podcast. I could stop right now. I could redo the sentence and I could edit this out, but I want to be honest with you guys. I want to be honest. I can read well in my head, but when I read out loud, it sounds like a horse kicked me in the side of the head because my brain doesn't work. So I just want you to know we all have problems. All right. And I don't want a lot of people edit their podcasts so they sound so cool. I want you to know you're listening to a big bag of shit who has trouble reading. All right. Joey Shallow Water. Let's try this again. How did the town of Jasper, where Roadhouse took place, necessitate Brad Wesley to commute via helicopter? Also, how did the owner of the Double Deuce intend to turn a profit, pissing all that money away on Dalton? Great questions, Joey. Let's address the first question. Brad Wesley just flying around in a helicopter. So Brad Wesley is, kind of like Saddam Hussein. He is a dictator of this town. Now, he's not in a position of power per se. He's not the mayor. He's not the chief of police. But all these people basically work for him. So if that dude wants a helicopter, guess what? It's coming out of the budget for school. Kids can't read any books anymore. Is there going to be a coat drive? Guess what? All those coats are going to Brad Wesley. He's kind of running shit. So any leftover money that town has, pay up. Also, if you remember in Roadhouse, he goes around. He's like the mob. He goes around making people pay up to run their business. So not only do they have to pay taxes to the town, they have to pay taxes to Brad Wesley. So that's what happens to that dude who runs that shop. He like doesn't pay. Guess what? Brad Wesley fucking lights the place on fire. To your second question, how did the owner of the Double Deuce intend to turn a profit pissing all that money away on Dalton? That's a great question. You got to remember, this guy is, he needs help. He's got this great bar. He's got a band playing. They're crushing it. But guess what? They're also getting pelted with Heineken bottles. They have to put up fucking wire in front of them. And even still, it's like, glass is going to hit that and shatter, dude. Like, we need help in here. People are getting punctured lungs every other Tuesday. So he sees that. He says, he's basically, what he's doing is it's a bar rescue. Okay? So when John Taffer comes in to do a bar rescue, he's going to cost you a lot of money. He's going to say, oh, we need some high tops over here. We need to change the name of your restaurant. We need to make it so we're not making soggy fries. And guess what? We're going to do salmon burgers. And you're like, salmon burgers? I don't even... Who the fuck eats salmon burgers? And it's like, hey, do you want to make money or not? And you're like, all right, how much is that going to cost? And then, of course, they put some high-top tables. And they start saying, look, this is gonna bring in an extra 10 grand of revenue a year. If one high-top table. And you're like, I guess, dude, I guess. So that's what's happening with the owner of the Double Deuce. He's like, I just need to get a Taffer in here. And yeah, it's going to cost a lot of money and a few people are going to die. But the end result is a cool ass bar where people don't get sexually harassed, where people can grind to fucking country music or whatever's happening. That's the bar I want to have. So it's all worth it to him. Now, if it doesn't work, he will be on government assistance because his life has taken a turn and he can rebound from that, of course, but he's going to have to go into foreclosure, all the things that happen when you have a failing business. It's not great. So he's really taking a gamble with Dalton. But to your point, I think he's desperate. And when you're desperate, you find a bouncer from another part of the country, you fly them in and you say, please kill whoever you have to because I want to serve Bud Lights in peace. All right, next up, Brian, another Roadhouse question. Who drives around in a monster truck? I know Brad Wesley is a big, pompous a-hole, but a monster truck seems to be a bit aggressive. So, Brian, to the point, Brad Wesley is Saddam Hussein. Brad Wesley is the rich kid at school with a bunch of toys. And he shows up on his, it's not even his birthday, he just shows up with a new toy. And you're like, why do you have that Nerf gun that shoots fucking 48 arrows? And he's like, I don't know, fucking, you don't have one? And you're like, what? So I guess the point is, if you have the means to have a monster truck and you can go, hey, it's a fucking demolition derby, I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer, right? Put yourself in Brad's shoes for a sec. You're a big old D-bag. You have all the money in the world because, again, you're a D-bag. And you have all these toys. You got access to a helicopter. And guess what? Hey, you want to buy a monster truck and just run over shit? Yeah, I do. It's called having fun. Why wouldn't I want to do that? So I think that's kind of basically what it is. It's like this dude wants to assert his dominance. And also, look, at the end of the day, having a monster truck is fun. Now, is it, you know, is it practical? Not really. You might get caught in the Starbucks drive-thru. You might not be able to go into a lot of parking garages. But if somebody fucks with you and they're driving a Toyota Camry, guess what? Now you squish their head. Now they get a squished head. Bet they wish they didn't fuck with you, huh? So this is from James. The cult classic movie Flash Gordon ended with a question mark. With all the remakes, prequels, and overall lack of creativity in Hollywood, why haven't we gotten a Flash Gordon 2? That's a great question, James. You know, I've never seen Flash Gordon. The only thing I know about Flash Gordon is the dude Sam Jones. He was in Ted. That's what I know about it. And I go, oh yeah, Flash Gordon. So Sam Jones has probably the best hair of all time. I don't know if that's a wig or not, but it's like Zach Morris combined with who's a supermodel. I don't know. I was going to say Heather Locklear. Is that, am I just dating myself? God damn it, Mike, what are you doing? So great hair. And I looked this up, and there's a lot of speculation that Sam Jones had a beef with a producer. There was a rumor, I was reading this on fandom.com, and if you're thinking fandom.com, Mike, what the fuck is that? They wrote about a web series I made once in a positive light, and I think it was fandom. Oh God, maybe I'm thinking of a different site. But if it's, they wrote about something I made once in a positive way, and all you have to do is say anything nice about me, and I'll think you're the best forever. So fandom, in my opinion, is the goddamn New York Times now. So they wrote that there was speculation that Jones was beefing with a producer. They didn't get along, and that the original plan was to shoot a sequel as they were shooting the original, but Jones didn't like, or there was a problem on set, and they're like, fuck this noise, we're not making it. So again, is that true? Who the fuck knows? But there's been, I mean, you can look up Flash Gordon sequel. There's been, throughout the years, 2015, 2018, 2020, it's just, there's been like start and stops, like, oh, so-and-so is going to produce this. Oh, there's a script. Oh, there's a whatever, but it hasn't gotten off the ground. So, you know, that makes a lot of sense if they were going to do the movie, shoot it at once. Plus, I think ending a movie in general is hilarious with a question mark. I think more things should do this. Like, think about The Sopranos. You know, they had that, like, what really happened ending. Don't Stop Believing hits, it turns to black, just a question mark hits. And you're like, what the fuck? I think that'd be awesome. Somebody else should put a question mark up. It would cause so much chaos, so many things. It would create buzz. And then even if it wasn't good, they'd be like, we need to see what's going to happen because of the question mark. If you just end it randomly, people would be like, ah, oh, that sucked. There was no payoff. But if you put up a question mark, holy shit, I want more. The next one is from Ricardo. He wrote, pop quiz, hot shot. When are you going to break down Speed? Oh, damn, Ricardo. I always forget about Speed. It's such an awesome movie. I could maybe do a recap in 60 seconds or at least a couple of scenes. I mean, that bus flying off the thing. Speed's a great movie. Never saw Speed 2 on a cruise ship. Too much speed, too much fun. But I will do it soon. Although I do have a bit of a queue because I stumbled upon a Dolph Lundgren movie called Shark Lake from 2015. A local sheriff makes it her mission to capture the animal, quotation marks, and bring the exotic animal collector to justice. So Dolph is on the cover, and there's a shark, and I don't know, dude. As someone who grew up going to lakes and shit, there is that thought of like, is there a shark in here? And everyone's always like, oh, you idiot, it's a lake. But what if it's a shark lake? Have you ever thought about that? Like, what if it's a shark lake? Watching the trailer now, yep, a couple of young hotties making out in the lake. He gets sucked down under. I am so in on this movie. All right, guys, can you please watch Shark Lake? Next week, I'm going to be discussing Shark Lake. So if you don't know what Shark Lake is, and you're not, like, you're going to miss out. But next week, I've decided, is about Shark Lake. So, all right, next one is from Cons, a.k.a. Captain Cons. We did an episode. His question was, did Lance Harbor go on to coach at his alma mater, and have they won a state championship? So I think Lance does take over the team, and they're doing great. I mean, Lance has been there as a player, and he knows how to coach. He coaches them up when he's on crutches. And, yeah, they've won a state championship. But then all of a sudden he gets a little older. He can't relate. And he makes a phone call to his old buddy John Moxon. And what's Mox up to? Well, you know, Mox, all he wanted to do was get away from Texas. He wanted to put football in Texas in his rear view. So he goes to Brown and, you know, he walks in like he's the shit. And guess what? No one gives a shit about him. They go, where are you from? You got a weird-ass accent, bro. And he's like, Texas. And they're like, what? This is Rhode Island, bitch. And he's not liking it. He wants to go home. But his friends are like, just stick it out, man. You'll like it soon. And then after winter break, he goes back, and he finds that his roommate accidentally shit his pants, and now the whole hallway smells. And he's like, I can't do this anymore. So he goes back. And one day, he's driving by the football field. He sees the quarterback trying to make a throw, and his elbow is up a little high. And Mox is like, hey, man, you wanna make a throw? You got to put your elbow down a little. The kid turns around, and it's Lance Harbor's nephew. And he's like, holy shit, Mox. What's up, dude? My uncle's the coach. And then Lance comes over. He's like, Mox, you back? And he's like, nah, dude, I'm never coming back to this town. I'm like, but aren't you back here now? Don't you live here? And he's like, yeah, I guess I do. So then Lance has Mox come back onto the squad, and he helps with the quarterbacks. So Lance can kind of be a full head coach because he was spending too much time with the quarterbacks as is because he was, of course, the great Lance Harbor. And those guys went back to back to back, like Tommy Mansky, back to back to back state titles. It's kind of a redemption story. You know, it's a whole arc. So if they want to make a little Varsity Blues TV show, I think that's the way to go. Lance is coaching. He's doing great, but something's missing. Mox, something's missing in his soul, and that's Texas, baby. So they come back. They reunite. Best friends forever, baby. State title time. Last question. So Jordan wrote, who wins in a fight? Jean-Claude Van Damme from Bloodsport, Jean-Claude Van Damme from Kickboxer, Dalton from Roadhouse, or John McClane from Die Hard? We all know JVD from Lionheart would be too easy as a win. It's like my dad always said, never fight a man who is comfortable fighting in a half-empty pool. That's hilarious, dude. I don't know if your dad really said that or not, but that's so fucking true. If a dude wants to fight you in a half-empty pool, that man is capable of murder. Run far away. So I think I'm going to break him down like this. I think John McClane is last. If there's a baseball bat on the ground or brass knuckles, McClane's your man because he'll fight dirty. He's from the streets, dude. Cop, he'll fucking gun butt you in the head. But if it's just bare knuckle boxing, he's coming in fourth. Third, I think Jean-Claude Van Damme from Kickboxer. He is a liability with, as you see in the scene where he gets hammered. He'll get hammered and he'll throw a few punches, but as we know, he's easy to get hammered, easy to poison. So just slip him something, crack him in the fucking neck. The second toughest guy out of all those, I think, is Jean-Claude Van Damme in Bloodsport. Now, he defeated Chong Li. He defeated lots of people. He has that thing where he moves his pecs. That means you're tough. But if the fight is not in slow motion where they're showing the same thing three times in a row, then he's kind of fucked. Which means number one, the king of the ring, the one guy I would not want to fight is Dalton. Because the second, let's say Dalton's fighting Jean-Claude Van Damme in Bloodsport. The second he dips down to get the salt or sand or whatever out of his crotch to throw it in Dalton's eyes, guess what? The second he reaches down, Dalton's grabbing him by the throat and ripping out his fucking voice box. Like that, you can't give Dalton a second. He'll roundhouse kick you to the back of the head and then rip out your fucking throat. We've seen it happen. So, you know, each guy has their strengths, but I think Dalton is just a brawler. He can fight wherever, whenever, wherever, Shakira style. So I don't know how you can pick against Dalton. So my list, John McClane is 4, Van Damme from Kickboxer is 3, Van Damme from Bloodsport is 2, and Dalton is number 1. Do not fuck with Dalton. He will murder you in a lake. Not to be confused with Shark Lake, which I am watching this week. Look it up on Pluto, bitches. All right, that's the show for today. I really like doing question and answers. I hope you guys like them too. You can send me more questions. I want to do a few each episode. I don't want to make the whole episode specifically about questions, but sometimes I do, and that's what I did today. So next week we're watching Shark Lake, but please send me questions, 60secondclassics@gmail.com. You can also shoot them my way on Twitter, @mcamerlingo. And yeah, we'll go from there. Thanks for listening, guys. Hope everyone has a great weekend. And if you need to get an upper endoscopy, just hit me up, man. I'll tell you all about it. It was kind of fun.